Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and continuing to celebrate this beautiful season of the church year, celebrating the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Easter can come and go pretty fast. The wonderful celebration of those days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. But this is the richest time, at least from my perspective, the richest time of the church year when we go from the passion, death, resurrection of Jesus all the way to his ascension into glory, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Remember Pope Benedict XVI summarized beautifully. He said, the whole purpose of Jesus' coming is fulfilled on the day of Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, meaning what? Human beings who are estranged from God, as St. Paul said, living without hope in the world, dead in their sins, literally living under the dominion of the world, the flesh, and the devil, a death-directed destiny, the whole race of people overshadowed by sin and death. These are real powers that Jesus brought down, who broke on the cross. It was his death, first of all, the shedding of his blood, making himself an offering for sin, a sacrifice, an act of love, the most powerful thing that's ever happened, you know, up to that point, and breaking the back of Satan, leading him into a trap, the proud, arrogant, demonic forces and resistance against God and his kingdom. And Jesus comes, and all those times he stood in silence as he was mocked and ridiculed. The devil's trying to destroy him, and we know, Scripture reminds us, the devil did the one thing he never should have done, what brought his kingdom down. He shed the blood that makes us clean. He shed the blood that takes away sin. He shed the blood that purifies us so that we can become children of God. And that means what? Indwelling of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us. We become living temples. You know, God who is holy cannot be united to what is unholy. Jesus deals with the problem of sin and alienation from God, and he washes us clean of the stain of sin and the presence and the power and the grip of it all. And he makes us, he enables us, he makes it possible in baptism when we're united to that, his victory, that act of love that brought the world of hate and darkness down, the kingdom of the devil and the devil's hold on the human race, and made it possible for human beings to have a destiny for eternal life. We ended yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to talk to us, the story of the conversion of Cornelius. And then the last sentence was talked about, you know, Peter standing in Jerusalem, giving an account of why he entered a Gentile person's house, why he spent time with them, what was going on. He ate stuff he wasn't supposed to eat. And the Lord was changing certain ritual practices that were part of the law. And the leaders in Jerusalem were not happy about what Peter was doing. They were shocked, like, Peter, what were you doing? What did you do? Right? And Peter said, the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me. Here's how he told me. Who am I when the Lord speaks? Who am I to resist the will of God? And then they heard the story and they rejoiced, because what was brought to the Gentile world was repentance unto life. Repentance is dealing with the sin problem, turning to God totally and receiving the gift that is Jesus Christ, who alone takes away the sin of the world. He's the Savior. He takes away sin, and it says repentance unto life. These three words, repentance unto life. You ever get confused about what Christianity is about? Repentance unto life. Jesus saves by taking away sin and giving us his life. He has the power to take away sin, and he has the power to give new life. And the new life is a share in God's life. We become children of God. So this is so fixed profoundly into the mind and heart of the apostles. But honestly, I think for many baptized people, it kind of goes right over their head. They don't quite get it. And we're not living from it like the apostles were. I mean, they knew they were living with the Lord, the resurrected Jesus. It's not like he was with us for a time and he went away now. And, you know, someday when we die, we're going to see him again. But between here and there, it's just us. And we need to just kind of work our way, make it happen. No, we entered the body of Christ. The Spirit has been given. The Spirit is upon us. The Spirit is with us. We have an anointing. We have the anointing of Jesus Christ. That means a lot. It's huge. And throughout history, there's revivals and moments of awakening. And after church gets caught up in the world and loses its salt, you know what I mean? And it gets flat. The salt goes flat. And we get worldly. We get fat. We get legalistic. We get mainly fixed on rituals. And by the way, I'm not slamming ritual. I'm talking about rightly ordered living in the Christian life. It's not about the law. It's not about rituals. It's about a new life in the Spirit. And what the sacraments are, friends, are conduits of this life, of ongoing the family of God being fed by the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. How is that made possible? Through the priesthood, yes. But how is that possible through the priesthood? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes present to bring that body, that bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who gives that priest the power and ability to turn that bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit who's in the confessional with the priest, making him another Christ, making Jesus present to us. I absolve you from your sins. It's all the Holy Spirit at work. But so is the extension of the mission and the Holy Spirit in and upon the lives of all the baptized. You see, we were just looking at chapters 10 and 11, the Cornelius story. It ended there with a beautiful three lines, repentance unto life. You say, what's Christianity about? Repentance unto life. Why are you a Christian? Because I repented and I came into new life in Jesus. I came to know Jesus as Savior. He saved me. And he's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. He gave me new life. He gave me a share. I mean, this is how much he loves me, how much the Father loves me. He brought me into his family by giving me the life that flows through the family. I have a new life in me, a new creation. Friends, this is what the apostles call again and again, the gift of God. Jesus himself called it that. My concern, hopefully we can talk about this next week more, is do we appreciate the gift of God that we've been given? Because certainly the apostles did, and they talked about it a lot. I'll be able to share that with you next week. The secret, you might say, or the source of living a new life, a transformed life, being able in the context, as we see in the apostles and in the history of the church, and whether you're being about to be martyred or you're treated badly or you're battling sickness or disease or your business collapsed or sadness, is things that are objectively sad may be happening to you, but at the underneath all of that, we know there's something deeper, something more powerful, something more precious in me as a person, something deeper that defines me, the whole foundation of my life, my identity, that is so much deeper, so much more valuable, so much more beautiful, unchanging, and so much further than anything we can ever acquire or achieve in this world. All that is passing. Doesn't mean it's bad, but it's passing. It's secondary, tertiary. And unfortunately, we hitch our wagons to these things in this life in such a way that we're looking to them, whether we fully articulated that way or not, often we're looking to them as a source of strength and identity and feeling good about ourselves. And, oh, yes, I have something to hope in. What are you hoping in? Well, my job's going great, or this inheritance just came in, and we can get this vacation home. Or, you know, we're going here, we're going there. Or my son just got a D1 scholarship and he's just killing it, or whatever. These are fine things. But again, they just come and go. They're not what it's really all about. The Christian is someone who knows the absolutely inestimable treasure that it's hard to even describe has happened. I am a new creation. It's not like, look what I have. I have a huge house. I have two big houses. I have this. I've acquired that. I've achieved this. That's kind of how we really talk or live, what we actually think or wish we could say in this life, to say, therefore, we have a meaningful life. Friends, one of the things the Lord wants to help us with, I know He does, because this is the truth. We want to live by the truth. The truth sets us free. You could have all of Warren Buffett's money. You could have all of Bill Gates' property all over the world. You could have Elon's creativity. You could have, you name it. I mean, you could have LeBron James' athletic skills, basketball skills. You could have all the trophies you could possibly have. You could be the greatest Olympian in the history of the world. You could be the most written about professor on the planet. You could be the most recognized doctor the world's ever seen because of what you've done. And guess what? I'm not mentioning those things because they're somehow wrong. What I'm saying is you could have all of it and it doesn't compare, literally, doesn't compare in true value and meaning and power than the new life we're given in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through the indwelling presence of the Trinity, the gift of God. Friends, if you're sitting there and you're sitting in your old beat-up car and you're at a park and you're all by yourself or you're listening at the grocery store or wherever, this is the truth. This is the truth. The greatest gold, the greatest reality on the planet, goodness, never-ending love, presence and power of the kingdom, indwelling presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in our lives. This is the gift of God, which will never pass away. Everything else is going to pass away. Period. Jesus Christ is offering everlasting life. Not just awesome life and awesome connections here in this world and awesome experiences. That's not the ultimate. And that's not really ultimately what your heart longs for. Jesus has come to save, to bring God's life. That's why, friends, one of the reasons why in heaven we're going to see people who went all in on Jesus, who the world doesn't recognize, and they were living saints just day by day in love, they're going to be crowned in heaven. Friends, let's receive the gift of God and walk in it with gratitude. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Don't forget to get the free booklet.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.